I had made this talk probably the longest of them, and it's supposed to be the shortest of them, but we'll make it short. We come now, my dear friends, to the end of the retreat, and we come to a full circle. In the last talk, I was mentioning charity at the end, and I said that charity cannot exist, cannot persevere, without something else, without its culmination, sacrifice. And today we will think of this in the last talk, of sacrifice. It makes perfect sense. At the beginning, I told you that I called you to death. What other way is there to die but to sacrifice ourselves? And I called you also, and I said that man has to be the image of God. Now, you cannot be eternal. You cannot be omnipotent. You cannot be all perfect, although we try. So how can you be the image of God? By assimilating yourself to the God that made himself a man, meaning to our Lord Jesus Christ. The best way in which you can become what you ought to be is by becoming, as they say of the priest, an alter Christus, another Christ. This will be a perfect completion. I don't expect you to go out of this retreat and be perfect Tuesday morning. I don't expect you to go out of this retreat and change everything in your life. My expectation, this is a good time for the retreat, because my expectation is that you continue this retreat through the end of Lent. You have two more weeks to go. So make this a retreat not of 3 days, but of 14. Make it last all the way until Easter. Recollect yourself in the same way that you have been here all the way until Easter. Pray as you have been doing here all the way until Easter. And continue making those resolutions, those amendments in your life for these 14 days. Then you will experience true change. But what are we aiming at? We're aiming at Good Friday. We are aiming to become more like Christ. Now, my dear friends, for this final talk, I want us to follow our model, Jesus Christ, at the moment of his own sacrifice, the Passion. And I'm going to try to discover things that we haven't said before. In the things that he did in the Passion, we will see the characteristic of a true man and of his sacrifice. Let's begin by the agony in the garden. I'm not going to describe the moments. I leave it to you to meditate. But think of that moment where our Lord is kneeling before his Father, and he says these words: Father, let this chalice pass away from me, but not as I will, but as you do. The sacrifice of his will. My dear friends, here we have two things to learn. That the first thing that we ought to do, as we have mentioned before, is an act of contrition. We must be truly sorry for our sins. We must truly have contrition to amend our lives. To what extent? To the extent of sweating blood, if it was possible. But more than that, I want you to think of this. A moment will come in your life, does come in your life already, where you realize that there is something that you must do that is difficult, painful, that is not your will. It might be just the practice of your faith to a heroic degree. And there, as our Lord, we must say, Thy will be done. And carry on. Don't give up. Carry on. If you're a priest and it's difficult for you to continue your mission because your parish is difficult or the place is difficult, carry on. If you're a married man and your marriage is a cross, a daily cross that you wake up with and you go to sleep with, carry on. If you're a young person and you struggle to find your vocation, and you struggle to make ends meet, and you struggle perhaps to just practice your faith, carry on. Don't give up and say, not my will, not my will, not my will, thy will be done. Our Lord went into his Passion without wanting to suffer all those things, or at least not suffer in the way that he suffered. Something was there that he didn't want. And he still said, I'll do it. I'll do it. Not as I will, but as you. So we see there then the first sacrifice of our Lord. What happens after? There is an instant that I think we should pay attention to. We read in the gospel that the traitor comes to our Lord. He betrays him with a kiss. The soldiers ask, or rather our Lord asks, "Who do you seek?" And the soldier says, "Jesus of Nazareth." And the first thing that our Lord says, "Let this go." And then what happens? Our Lord is betrayed. They all leave him. My friends, once you decide to follow the will of the Father, as you did in the Garden of Olives, the next thing that will happen is that many around you will abandon you. The closest, perhaps, your family, your friends. They're not going to abandon you because you're mean, or because you're evil, or because you did anything bad to them. They will abandon you for the same factor that they abandoned our Lord, because he was doing his Father's will. That's the sacrifice of that support that you expected. They will call you blasphemer, they will call you criminal, all sorts of things. It's the sacrifice of your reputation, of your place in the world. But notice this part. Even as they do, even as they abandon you, you must love them. Even as our Lord knew that the apostles were abandoning him, what was his concern? Let these men go. Save them. I'm going to try to save them. And so for you, my dear friends, as you follow our Lord in this sacrifice, even if you're abandoned, even if you are betrayed, you still love them, you still seek for them, you still care for their salvation. Then our Lord is taken to Annas and Caiaphas. I want to dwell on this one. We read in the Gospel of St. Mark. The high priest asked him and said to him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed God?" And Jesus said to him, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand and the power of God and coming with the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest, rending his garment, said, "What need have we of any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think you?" And everyone condemned him to death. Here, more than pointing out a different kind of sacrifice, I want to point out the reason for it. Our Lord, as our model, shows us a very essential part of manhood. One that I must say with great sadness is often lacking in us. The willingness to tell the truth when it is required of us lawfully, no matter the cost, no matter the price. I don't know if you've ever thought of this. The reason why our Lord was condemned to death was because he told the truth. And I don't mean to say that you should go out and start telling all your relatives that are divorced that they will go to hell, and all the people that are Protestant in your acquaintances that they will go to hell. I'm not saying that. Be prudent. Our Lord stood silent for a long time. But when it became a duty, that's when he spoke. They were questioning him and telling him things, and it says in the gospel he was silent. But the moment that the high priest, whom he had a duty to respond, under oath asks him, "Who are you?" Then our Lord snaps and he says, "This is my duty. It's going to cause me to die. It's going to cause me betrayal. It's going to cause me the cross. But I must say the truth." And that's, my dear friends, a perfect example of our model. Whether it be to your wife, to your children, to your friends, at the moment that it becomes my duty, then it is that I must say the truth. And I would say something here that also happens. I'm sure you've lived through this. Sometimes we're in a group. It might be a board. It might be a men's group. It might be the job. It might be the military. Who knows? And there is a duty to say things, and someone else says it, not me. And then I feel relieved of the duty, and I say, I can be quiet now. Because John already said that that's bad, that that's a crime, that we shouldn't do it. It's done, someone said it, I don't need to say it. No, I still must say it. I still must support, I must give numbers to that truth, if that's the case. Cost what it may, the God-man taught me to do so. Another point of the Passion of our Lord. On the following morning, he's dragged, tied as a prisoner, to one court and another. Pilate, Herod, Pilate. This woman, I want to bring to your attention another sacrifice that mature men must make. After the Passion, think of a few days later, our Lord was speaking to St. Peter. And he was basically telling St. Peter, someday you will mature and you will do what I did. And he said this, Amen, amen, I say to thee, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch forth your hands and another one will gird thee and lead you where you don't want to go. I had mentioned that for a man, it is his undertaking to take responsibility above others, and this leads to great sacrifice. A great sacrifice that many parents, many husbands fail to make throughout their life. The sacrifice of their time, of their pastimes, of their amusements, of their joys. We've covered this. But don't we see many men that still are selfish in this way and still reclaim that time for themselves? It is not yours, not anymore. It might be given to you. Notice that word, given. Maybe you're given that time for yourself every now and then, but it's no longer yours to take. A mature man like our Lord will take responsibilities, and this means that he has burned his time on the altar in the sacrifice. He has burned on the altar his previous pastimes. And I can, like our Lord said to St. Peter, now that he's old, he will be tithe. And he will be dragged to where he doesn't want to go. The park on a Sunday morning when I wanted to rest. Spend time with my kids at 9 p.m. where I wanted to sleep. Go to this church event where perhaps there was the Super Bowl, but my kids don't benefit from the Super Bowl, they benefit from the church event. I am tithe, and now I go to where I don't want to go, as our Lord did. Let's move forward a little bit on the sacrifice of our Lord, and through some of this, I will go a little bit faster, because we've covered them before. We go in the morning to the moment of the scourging, and our Lord there presents his flesh to be punished gruesomely, almost to death. It is once again, Father, you've told us like four times. You will go remembering it. Penance, the sacrifice of the flesh. It is important, I preach it again. Our Lord began his preaching like that. It says in the gospel, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, do penance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We read of St. Aloysius Gonzaga. He fasted 3 days a week, 3 full days on bread and water. He would scourge himself with a dog whip. And every midnight, he would get up to pray on a stone floor, no matter what the weather was, even in winter, without heat. On the winters, every time also, he had forbade his servants to light a fire on his room, which means basically go winter without heating. There is then that resolution of penance that we have talked about before, and we see it also in our model, in the Passion. But then after the scourging comes the crowning with thorns. Our Lord is taken into the courtyard, and there they crown him a king. But they crown him with a crown of thorns. They spit in his face. They slap him. They hit him with a rod in the face, and they say to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." It's what we discussed in the previous talk, the sacrifice of your own excellence, the sacrifice of pride. How often you need it. The day will come where the priest will come to your house, and he will tell you, in one way or another, something you don't like. You need to change this, you need to correct that. Before you answer to the priest, before you reply, before you excuse yourself, remember your model, remember your model, burn your pride. You will be humbled by your wife that here or there will disrespect you, will disobey you, or will lack prudence, or practicality, or theology, or strength, and she will undermine you. Undermined, as if crowned with thorns. Before you lose your patience, before you say enough, before you go and end it all and shout at her or give up on her, before you go and say, "She's disobedient, she's imperfect, she's not a good wife, I can't do it anymore, I can't." Look at your model. Look at the Christ being beaten up again and again and raising his head back. One blow to his face raises his head back. Another blow, another spit, he raises his head back. And as you see that, as you see your God do that, burn your pride. You will be humbled by your children looking at you with that grin, with that smirky little gesture, making those sarcastic comments, slamming the doors. The girl dressing immodestly, your boy, rowdy and disobedient. Before you lash on them with anger, before you cowardly give in to them, before you take your face away from the spits, before you return with vengeance, look at your model, look at the Christ, taking the spits from his own children and yet not giving up on them. Burn your pride. Let charity reign and do your duty. There's a story, I still have some time, I think. There's a story that boggles my mind. I never tell it to the men, it's more for women, I think, but, well, it's for everybody. But it's one of my favorite ones. This was a woman that ended up, she was a tertiary Carmelite, I think. She lived in the 1700s, married to a duke or someone of stature. And her husband was cheating on her. She knew this, she realized it was going on, but she went on in her marriage. She had a family, and she was staying put, praying for the conversion of her husband. The husband is cheating on her. One day, she realized he had a son with the other woman. And then, after a while, this man was so bad that they couldn't take him in court. So the king, or whoever it was, cast him away. He said, "You gotta move to another city. I don't want you in my court. You are too immoral." So he came to the wife, he told her, "We're gonna have to move out, we're moving to this state." And as they're getting ready, he thinks that she doesn't know. And the wife, this woman deserved the beard. The wife says to him, "It's not right that your son goes without education. Bring your son over here, bring him with us, and I will raise him properly." The bastard son. That's guts. That's a man. That woman, as I say, she deserved a beard. That's humility. We go then now to, I just cursed from the pulpit. We go now from the mystery of the carrying of the cross of our Lord. And here, there are so many things that we could consider. But I want to consider just one. Think of our Lord, imagine him going through Jerusalem, through the streets. He's going to save the souls of all mankind. He's going to redeem us from hell, to bring us into heaven. He's carrying the cross. He's dying as he's carrying the cross. He's already dying. And everyone is pushing against him. Everyone is throwing him rocks. The Hebrews had the custom of throwing dust when they got angry, indignated at someone. Throwing dust at his face, pushing him, spitting at him. Everyone is opposing him. He's trying to save them. And everyone is trying to stop him. And I want to show you men here to follow our model, the sacrifice of standing to opposition and lacking all human support. I really do wonder, let me know if you know of one. I wonder if there is any man that all throughout his life he found a partner, a friend, a family member, a spouse, who was really always there for him. We hear that, my parents said that of each other, but let's be honest, we all know there was always one moment where that person wasn't there. I'd like to know that someone has that, but experience shows me otherwise. Saint Teresa of Jesus, she would say, creatures, men, women, they are broken reeds in whom you cannot lean. They will break and it will hurt you. And men, when you endeavor to do something good in your life, some of you probably have this experience already. When you endeavor to do great things with God, or even personally or in society, in the church, in community, you know it, many falter, many give up. And when this moment comes of carrying the cross, when this moment comes when all creatures fail, follow your master, that against everyone continued going up. You expected a Palm Sunday when you started doing these things. You wanted everyone to come and say with the palms, come, come, and here it is. We're going to make your path easy for you. We're going to put palms for you to walk. Our Lord had that, but then 5 days after, you see where he goes. You might say, how can I continue? How can I continue if God is not helping me? If my superiors abandon me, the priest is not answering me, my wife doesn't go with me, my friends don't support me. And then God, at this moment where I need him the most, where is God? Follow your head, follow your master. Do it with or without the support of anyone. At that moment, bear the cross, don't drop it. And if it truly comes to a moment where you really don't have strength, just like it happened with our Lord, God will send you a Cyrenian. He will send you someone. As long as you stand and hold to it, he will not let you drop it. And finally, my dear friends, as time is finishing, we come to the crucifixion of our Lord. Our Lord is stripped of his garments. Even now the soldiers insult him. They still slap him. They fix his hands and feet to the wood of the cross, as I said in the morning. They start nailing him. And there our Lord will hang from the cross for 3 hours. And in those 3 hours, he utters 7 words. And I want to use these words to end the retreat and to pull out even more treasures of our Lord to be true men. The first word of our Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We often hear of men and the family, the father, of his duty to do justice. That's necessary. We need to preach about it. We need to know that. But we seldom hear of the duty of men to learn how to forgive. And this, for a man with responsibilities, is, I would say, twice as necessary. You know what justice is good for? Justice is good when you want to end things. But if you want to keep them alive, forgiveness is what you need. If you want to keep your marriage alive, Justice is not the key. It's necessary, it's good. But more than that, you will need forgiveness. If you want to keep the faith alive in your children, justice is good. But more than that, you will need forgiveness. You will need to be able to treat them the day after you corrected them as if you love them more than anything else in the world and as if you don't remember anything that happened. If you want to keep your parish alive, you will need forgiveness with each other. We as men must learn very well how to forgive, even as our Lord did at the moment of being harmed. At the moment where I'm being nailed, at the moment that I'm being killed, I still should be able to forgive. And then I will be able to do my duty as our Lord did. The second word of our Lord, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. These words state the ultimate purpose of your sacrifice. Why do you do all you do? So you can tell your friends, your brothers, your wife, your children, today you will be with me in paradise. This denotes the reason for all that we have been discussing. And it gives us also an important ray of hope. Because you might say right now, Father, my son is lost. My daughter is lost. My wife is lost, lost to the faith. The thief, our Lord is saying these words to the thief. All his life he lived in crimes, murdering people. He was being crucified. That means he was the worst of the criminals. He wasn't a regular thief. If he was being crucified, that means this guy was the worst of the worst. That's why they put him next to our Lord. To be able to bear smish, you know what I mean? The fame of our Lord. At the last moment, our Lord grabs that soul. And so that tells you that your efforts are not lost. Even if you don't see it, even if your child, your son, your daughter, your whoever it is in your family dies and you didn't see their conversion, trust that your prayers don't go unanswered. And our Lord will pull them at whatever time he can. We come to the next word. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. I cannot fail to mention here that for the Christian man, his sacrifice will not be alone. You will always have the Mother of God with him, with you. We cannot persevere without a sincere devotion to our Blessed Mother. Think of this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he needed his mother there by the cross. He wanted her to keep him company all throughout the Passion. If he needed her, because he wanted to, but if he needed her, how could we not? He didn't give her away until the moment where he was consummated, where things were done. But before that, all the time, she wanted her by his side. So we need that. But if, my friends, here is another beautiful thing that we see as men, another example of our Lord. As a man, you have the duty to keep the dignity of the woman in your life, of the women in your life, according to their position, and to guard their honor. I always tell women, treat your husband as if you saw Jesus in him. I could say the same to you. Treat your wives as if you were working with the Virgin Mary. What courtesy would you show her? With what respect would you speak to her? How would you honor her? I've said this in the previous talk, the women in your life are sacred. They are frail. But here, what example our Lord gives you. In the midst of torture, in the midst of dying, in total abandonment, he takes the care to look after the dignity of his mother. That tells you, no matter what the situation, no matter how bad you are doing, no matter how terrible, how dire your situation might be, as a man, you always look for the dignity, the value of the women in your life, or even around you, I would say. We have a few more words. My God, why have you forsaken me? Might be repeating myself here, but it's important also. What is our Lord teaching you here, if not this? To persevere in your duty, even without consolation. We said before about persevering in your duty without human consolation, without human support. But here our Lord is saying, even if you feel nothing, even if you go to Mass and you're dry, even if you go to pray and it seems like you can't pray, stay the course, continue and finish the job, serve God regardless of how you feel, of whether if you're dry or not, if you have devotion or not, you serve God because you're a man and you do your duty as a man. Without reward, without consolation. Saint Teresa of Avila, again, another woman that people said that she deserved a beard. Saint Teresa used to say this. She would say, I can't wrap my mind about grown men who get really distressed because God doesn't give them any consolation. I can't wrap my mind about that. She would say, they should be content with serving God and leave the consolation in His hands to give it when He deems appropriate. Here you see our Lord Jesus Christ in the worst of places, in the worst of times, at the worst possible scenario. He was the most loved person by God, and He felt abandoned. So men, if He being the holiest of holiest, at the worst time, felt abandoned, why wouldn't you? How could this not happen to you? If our Lord was the highest person before God and at the worst possible time He felt abandoned, how can you say, why would God do this to me? Why would God do this to me and give me these difficulties and make me feel abandoned when I'm having such hard trouble? He did it to His Son. How could this happen to me right now? Right now, of all times. Look at the timing with our Lord. But it was all for a higher end. And if this happens to you, if you're without consolation, remember our Lord and continue your duty, sacrificing yourself. Then comes the other word, I thirst. I'm going to call this the sacrifice of send me more. I'm sure you know this story. Maybe you do. True story. This is a child. His name was Malachi. He passed away, I believe, 2 years ago. Raise your hands if you've heard about him. Some of you have. I don't know if you know this part. Malachi, so he had cancer. I can't remember if it was in his vertebrae, but he had a very terrible cancer. So one day he was playing baseball and suddenly he couldn't move. He fell, brought him to the hospital. After that, he was bedridden for 2 years of his life. And I might be incorrect in some of the details. The point is, he would be in the hospital, just laying down there, can't move. His brothers, his siblings would come, play around. Here's this new dog and whatever, and then go around and play. And the mother would send them away to play, and he's just sitting in there. And one day, the bishop was visiting him daily. And this boy, he's suffering the worst. So one day he's there, the bishop comes visit, and Malachi says, Mom, can I talk to the bishop? And the mom says, sure, I'll step out. So everybody leaves. And Malachi tells the bishop, Your Excellency, I have a question. I've been thinking, I just don't know how to answer. And the bishop says, well, tell me, I'll let you know. And he says, what can I offer up for Lent? He can't move. What can I offer up for Lent? What guts of a boy. 13 years old. He passed away maybe 4 or 5 months after that. That's what our Lord is saying when he says, I thirst. He didn't mean that he was physically thirsty. He meant, foremost, that he was thirsty for more souls, for the salvation of souls. Think of it like this with the example of Malachi. He had been suffering for over 24 hours, all kinds of torments, crown of thorns, scourges, slaps, beatings, the cross. The logical prayer would be to say, I'm done. Can I rest now? I'm good with this. I think I've done my chore. I think I'm done enough. But in the midst of the sacrifice, our Lord is saying, Father, more. It is the sacrifice of willingness to be able to go and do the extra mile. I have 8 children. I'm ready for the 9th. Send me more. I have a terrible disease. What can I offer for Lent? Send me more. There's a parish that I don't like, or there's a house that I don't like, or my family's struggle. Send me more. Because I thirst to do the will of God. And lastly, my dear friends, perfectly fitting to the end of our retreat, we end with these two words, it is finished, our Lord said, and then, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The first word is the perseverance in sacrifice until the end. I insist, never to give up before it is finished. Oh men, how many of us begin to falter as the sacrifice grows long or stronger? Your marriage, after many years, feels burdensome at times. Your children, when they become teens and adults, make you desire, as John of Austria, that you have been a monk. The priest, when he's 40, 50 years old, and he's lacking sleep, and he lacks time to eat, and he feels exhausted, I've had enough. The young men, 18, 19 years old, and it feels like the authority of my parents is lasting an eternity upon me. And we're very tempted, as I said in one sermon, we're very tempted to follow the prompt, the mockery of the Pharisees, and they tell us, descend from the cross. Descend from the cross, and we will see that things are good with you. Descend from the cross, we will see that you're strong. Descend from the cross, and we will see that you're a man. We're very tempted to do that. To descend from that cross of marriage, or the priesthood, or the religious life, or simply being Catholic. But just like our Lord did, we must not descend from the cross. Our model tells us the same. He was told once and again, descend from the cross. Stop saving us. Descend from the cross. And our Lord says, don't. I will not. Keep it. Finish it. When it gets darker, when it gets more painful, when it gets more unbearable, that's the sign that you're about to finish. That's the sign that the devil is giving up. He's putting all that effort. He's pushing because he knows his time is up. Keep to your vocation. Keep to the difficulties and face them. Keep to the people that crucify you until it is finished. And then, my dear friends, we'll follow the next word, which is the reward. Then you will be able to say in your deathbed, and that's our prayer for all of us, that someday when we're in the hospital or maybe somewhere else, having received the sacraments or being in the state of grace, that we can look back to my life and I can say, I died long ago. This is not scary. That I can look back in my life and I say, I was an image of God I was an image of God to my friends, to my family, to my parish, to my country, as much as I could. That I can look back to my life and say, I tried to be humble. I tried to love as much as I could. I tried to be chaste. That I can look back in my life and I can say, I loved to death. I loved to death, and I gave it all to God, to my country, to my family, to my friends. Your sacrifice, dear men, will lead you to a point finally where you can also call God Father. And after having been worthy men, you can die also as our Lord, delivering that which was given to you as a loan from birth, your soul to your Maker. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We follow with benediction. During benediction, we will recite the total consecration to our Blessed Mother. Those of you who are doing it for the first time, once the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, please come and kneel over here so we can do the total consecration in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Thank you.